Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Welcome back from the apocalypse and no electricity all week long. Some didn't get it on till last night, so thank the Lord when you got it on. And we didn't get ours in this area till Friday afternoon. So it was a long week of sleeping on a couch and at my son Caleb's house. But we had good fellowship, enjoyed ourselves, but not really the kind of vacation you plan on having, is it? But God has been good to us. Electricity's on. We can flush the toilets. We're ready to go. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the morning. We're grateful for it. May this hour be pleasing to you. God bless our worship. Help it to be right and help us to be attentive and not distracted. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would just get a hold of all of our hearts. Arrest our attention. May we focus on the Word of God. And in it, of course, may you be exalted. And Lord, may you be manifested so all will understand and we'll all draw closer to thee. If there's someone here not sure of their salvation and really not sure that the sin question is settled in their lives, may they hear of Jesus today and trust you in simple faith. And God be adopted into your family. May they be born again this very day. Bless the families that are our way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Good to have you here this morning. It's the first Sunday of the year 2020. We have a whole year. The Lord willing, we've got a year in front of us. So it's a good day to start the year afresh and do the right things for God. I trust. You know, I look around a little bit this morning. It's a good crowd, but we got people. Our snowbirds are gone. Most of them are all gone now. So we got to fill in the ranks. This winter's got to be a year of evangelism, getting people to Christ, getting the gospel to them. Philippians in chapter 3, if you would turn there, please. Philippians in chapter 3. We're going somewhere here at Fundamental Baptist Church. Of course, we're going to heaven, those that are born again. You could be a church member and not go to heaven. You need to be born of the Spirit of God, adopted into the family of God. You can be a very religious person, and you're not going to see the gates of heaven. You'll never enter into heaven, never, unless you have the righteousness of Christ upon your life. Unless you come to the place in your life where you recognize you're a sinner, and he's the only Savior, and you repent of your sin and ask Jesus for salvation. He'll come in, he'll clean you up. You're not perfect while you're here on this earth, but you're adopted into the family of God. That's Bible doctrine, all kinds of scripture to support that. The year that's in front of us can be a great year if we'll commit our way to Christ. Or it could be a year of tragedy, and that'll be up to all of us individually. With your Bibles open to Philippians in chapter 3, and an ink pen in your hand, or a pencil or a crayon, whatever it is you got, I want you to take good notes this morning and allow God to bless. Let's all stand together, everybody standing. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Father, we come to you this morning. We ask for your blessing. We pray the Holy Spirit would teach us and woo us to Christ if we're not born again. God, if we're a wandering sheep, if we're one that is born again, but we're all caught up in the world, God, your Holy Spirit, may it overwhelm us this morning. May you overwhelm us this morning and just remind us how good you are. And Lord, challenge us. And God, may we just get our hearts right with thee so that we can know your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'll say this before I start preaching again. It's part of my preaching, I suppose. There's nothing in this world that will satisfy your heart. Nothing, nothing, nothing. You could be a millionaire tomorrow. Without Christ, you're a pauper. Man, you can raise your family in the lap of luxury, but without Christ, your family will end up a tragedy. If you'll just understand this morning, who you need is Jesus Christ. He's the answer to all your problems. Last Sunday morning, I preached a message on exalting Christ, on making much of Christ. And it's the first message of three messages, a short series on the life of Christ when he was young and the life of Christ during his ministry and then his post-resurrection life as well. And I'm going to pick up that series next Sunday morning. And this is kind of a little bit of a parenthesis, just a challenge you this morning, because it's important we all are on the same page. It's important that Fundamental Baptist Church, we all worship the same God and we're all going in the same direction. And we want to know God's blessing to the fullest. He says here in this first verse, and also in verse 3, rejoice. And it's a command. He says in verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Verse 3, he says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. And then he says a whole bunch of things in chapter 3, and that's my message this morning. But you're saying, if you read this casually, maybe you just kind of, you fly by it and you don't recognize it. Why is Paul saying rejoice? Look at the last two verses of the chapter. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our conversation is our manner of life, our lifestyle, the way that we live. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence we're looking to heaven for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember in chapter, you know, he's talking about the rapture of the church, the second coming of Christ, saying rejoice because heaven is our home. Because Jesus is coming soon. Rejoice, because we're going to receive a new body, a resurrected body. Verse 21, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So not only is heaven our home, we're going to receive a resurrected, glorified body. That's part of the deal, and we'll be with our Lord for forevermore. He's saying the best is yet to come. Rejoice. The electricity goes off for a few days. Rejoice. The best is yet to come. Somebody, a doctor tells you, sits you down and says, listen, you've got cancer and it's aggressive. Rejoice. The best is yet to come. Some tragedy comes your way, some deep valley, some deep water. Rejoice as a child of God. Rejoice. The best is yet to come. Man, if you live 80 years on this earth, if you live 90 years on this earth, it's a drop in the bucket for the life you're going to live in heaven. I mean, rejoice. So go back to chapter 3 again. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, Gentile dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision, those that were Jews, that were not born again, that were not Messianic Jews. They were Judaizers. They fought against Jesus. He says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. The church was born out of Judaism. You understand that? And that's what we've been studying in the book of Acts. And this church and the church, the first century church, was born in persecution. There was a price to be paid for receiving Christ. Not like today, where somebody might laugh at you, or somebody might misunderstand. That's really not a price at all. There was a price to be paid in that, and God has been so good to us. I would say number one in my three-point message this morning, verses 1-3, remember the past. Remember how good God has been. Now he says there will be evil workers. There will be dogs. There will be those that are Judaizers, and they're going to fight against the cause of Christ. There are enemies of the cross of Christ. He says it later on in this chapter. I won't preach that far this morning. And I would tell you this morning, if you're born again, this New Testament Christianity stuff, it's not for sissies. Man, if you're a coward, if you're afraid of being laughed at, if you're afraid of being misunderstood and misrepresented, you understand this is a multi-front battle that the church is fighting in this world of darkness. We're beating back the darkness. And the enemy, the devil, he's relentless. And we need to understand that as well. But the New Testament church, what a privilege to be a part of something that's bigger than ourselves. To be a part of something that's eternal. To be a part of something that Jesus is all about. Man, what a privilege we have. You see, you can start looking at the shiny objects that the devil offers, and I'm telling you, it's all temporary. It's going nowhere. And heaven and hell are both forever. Then Paul, in verses 4-7, kind of speaks of his personal accomplishments. And I want to read it because it's important to what I want to get to in these next two points very quickly. Verse 4, without a lot of comment. He's talking about those that have confidence in the flesh. And then he says, listen, you Judaizers. And remember, this is Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, who sat at the feet of Gamaliel, who was a Hebrew of Hebrews and a Pharisee of Pharisees, the most promising young rabbi of his day, already a member of the Sanhedrin, the 70 that ruled the nation Israel. This was the devil's man. He was the one that persecuted the church and made havoc of the church. And he said, and there were those that were bragging in their accomplishments. And Paul said this under inspiration. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And by the way, what Paul is saying is, I'm not trusting in the flesh. My personal accomplishments are manure. That's what he says. It's sewage. He said, that's not where it's at. Those of you that are trusting in the flesh, I'm telling you, I was bigger than you. And I gave it all up for Jesus. I hope you understand. I hope that came out right. Verse 5 says, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. He's saying there was nobody more Jew than me. Verse 6 says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things are gained to me? By the way, a Pharisee was the fundamentalist of his day. Unfortunately, it was without Christ. But he was the one that did his best to keep the law. That was a Pharisee. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He said, I traded it all for Christ. It was rags to riches. It was heartache to heaven. I gave it all up for Christ. He says, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. He said, listen, if giving up everything, if that's what I had to do to receive Christ, I did it. And I was willing to do it. Because Jesus is so much bigger than anything I can hang on to here in my life. So much bigger than salary. So much bigger than accomplishments. So much bigger than empty, fleeting popularity. He said, I traded that which I could not keep for that which I could not lose. I gave it all up for Jesus. And he said, all of my past accomplishments, and when I say he was a promising young rabbi, man, I think I understate it there. He said, I counted all those accomplishments like sewage, dung, manure. That's about as low as it can get. He said, that's how priceless it was. It was sewage. Maybe some are here this morning, and you're thinking religion's going to get you to heaven. Listen to the Apostle Paul. Everything he was talking about here was religion. He said, it's dung. It's all sewage. Verse 9 says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, oh, this is big, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He says, Jesus is my righteousness. Jesus is my faith. If you're born again, someday in eternity future, in the not too distant future, you're going to see, you'll meet the new Tim Raider up on the streets of glory. And he will be there, not because of his own righteousness, but because of the righteousness of the only begotten Son of God, the Savior, Jesus Christ. I am going to heaven one day. When this life ends, I'm going to heaven, and I can say that it's a no-so salvation. Over 400 times in the Bible, one way to heaven. It is crystal clear. It is a straight gate. There is one Savior who came to the world. It wasn't Muhammad. It wasn't Confucius. It wasn't any martyr. It was Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And I'm going to heaven one day because he lived a perfect life as the Son of God. And then he went to the cross and became sin who knew no sin, the scripture says. And he took my place on the cross. He paid the penalty for the sin, the price for the sin of Tim Raider. He paid it in full. And then he went to the grave and then he rose again on the third day. And he's my Savior. He's a living God. And I'm going to heaven because of his righteousness and not my own. And if you're trusting in your own righteousness, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you're trusting in the righteousness of some religious leader, all have sinned. There is none righteous, no, not one. You need a Savior, and I'm telling you this morning, his name is Jesus, the only Savior. the only way to heaven. And there must be a time and there must be a place where you receive Christ. And I must hurry. Look at verse, let's continue to read. Verse 10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. You got to remember the past. You need to understand that God has blessed us. And any of us have been saved for any length of time. Anybody that knows anything about the ministry here knows that we have messed up many times, but God has never let us down. God, it's Christ's church. This church belongs to Christ. I don't mean the buildings. I mean the people. This is the church of Jesus Christ. And there are a lot of sister churches just like this, but we belong to God, and we're thankful to God. And I don't have to look into the distant past at all. And I see the hand of God in my life. And I see the blessings of God. And it is rags to riches. And it is positional righteousness. And it is the resurrection life that we're to live and live for the glory of God. That's the present. That's where we're at right now. Here's a very profound thought. Anybody here that's 16 years of age, you're going to get one shot at 16. And it'll be gone. Anybody here that's 30 years of age, you get to be 30 one time. And you'll never be 30 again. And it'll be gone. It'll slip through your time, will slip through your fingers like the air, like the vapor that the Bible describes it as. Those of you that are 70, you're going to be 70 one time. Live it for the glory of God. Remember the past. Don't be tied to the past. Rejoice in the present. We're in Christ. What a wonderful truth that is. I don't have time to preach that doctrine this morning, but when you get born again, you are in Christ. 81 times in the New Testament says, by my count, by what I read, we are in Christ when we are born again. It's positional righteousness. I have his righteousness. I'm not yet perfect. I'm still a sinner here on this earth. But I'm as good as in heaven already, because there was a day I was born into the family of God. And you can't be unborn. You know, you can't be aborted from the family of God. That doesn't happen. You're born again one time. A time and a place. You get saved, you're in. Positionally, you're in Christ. You have the righteousness of Christ. And then he says a few things very quickly here. Verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. That means to pursue. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, say, I haven't arrived, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I pursue. I reach forth. Verse 14, I press. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is not contradicting any portions of Scripture. There's no contradiction here. Paul makes it abundantly clear in this very passage. You don't work for salvation. But after you get saved, man, you got a responsibility to bring glory to God. And Paul said there's a will of God for my life, and I reach forth. I pursue. I press on. I'm trying to accomplish something for God. We're going somewhere. So we're to remember the past. We're to rejoice in the present. That's where we are right now. And we are to reach for the future. And I would tell you in closing this message, I'm on my last point. For the child of God, the best is yet to come. Unless you're foolish enough, there are no losers in the family of God. You cannot lose unless you turn your back on God. You are designed to win. Paul said we are more than conquerors. We are mega conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's what's got to happen. If we'll stay faithful to God, if you'll stay in the saddle, if you'll stay in the harness, if you'll stay in the, you'll do your best to serve God. You can't lose. There may be some times where you get waylaid. There's going to be scars. There's going to be deep water. But you will not lose, not as a child of God. That's a promise. And I want to encourage you as a you that are members of Fundamental Baptist Church, let's get more done for God, more than we ever have gotten done before. Without hanging on to the world. Abraham lived in a tent. And physically, he was a rich man. Spiritually, he was beyond riches. He walked with God. Never lived in a mansion. Never drove his stakes too deep. The word Hebrew means wanderer. Kind of the way some of us felt this week, that we're living in other people's houses and eating at their tables and not sleeping in your own bed. kind of felt like a vagabond Jew, you know, just a wanderer, just kind of going through life. And it really is nice to have a home. We do have a home, by the way. We will get there one day. But as a child of God, let's not get all entangled with the affairs of this life. If that sounds familiar to it, it's because the Apostle Paul said it to Timothy. Don't get all. This life isn't what you're about. Our Savior is what we're about. The future is bright. The Bible says, "Eye hath not seen, nor neither entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." And that's talking about heaven, but it's talking about more than heaven. You read that in 1 Corinthians. Talking about this life right now. This Canaan land that we can live in for the glory of God. You have no idea what God has planned for you and how he is going to bless. Psalm 139:6, I quoted it last week. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. The future is as bright as the promises of God. Good times or bad times. Persecution or days of victory. The future is as bright as the promises of God. Because the future for the child of God who is following God is not dependent upon the things that we have and the culture that we live in, but our Savior. And he walks with us every step of the way. God has a lot of things. I have three things I want to challenge you with, and I'm not going to preach them. I'm just going to share them with you. But I'm telling you, 2020, as a pastor, I've got some things that I'm praying about. Now, everything I've ever dreamed of has not always come true, but enough of my dreams I've experienced, and God brought them to pass to know that I'm supposed to keep on dreaming. I'm supposed to keep on pressing on and keep on pursuing. West Coast Baptist College, and what's the name of the church out there? I can't remember the name of the church all of a sudden. Lancaster? Is that what it is? Yeah, Dr. Chapel, and I have had no contact with him for 10 years. But you know, man, he'd send out in his mailings. If you ever get on their mailing list, look out, man. You know, they would send out blueprints for new buildings. We're raising money for this. We're raising money for that. And one of his assistant pastors told me this one time. He said, "You know, a lot of those things have never come to pass, but some of them have. And God blesses vision." You know what we need to do in the year 2020? This needs to become a church of 1,000 people. Say, "Oh, I'm so tired of hearing that." Man, get your eyes on God. You know what we need to do in the year 2020? And this is very attainable. We need to add 4 more missionaries. We added missionaries last year. We've added missionaries every year. We need to add to our radio broadcast system, the networks, the places where we are broadcast. We need a higher profile for Maplewood Baptist Academy, and I'm planning on that. We need a preschool. We need a higher profile, more of an outreach for Canaanland. You say, "Man, we had 55 kids saved at Canaanland Baptist camps last summer." What do you mean? I'm talking about locally. Locally. Let's keep bringing in those churches from outside. I'm glad for that. But Chippewa County, man, we need to do more in the area of Canaanland and getting people right out of our, more than the ones that we scholarship, by the way. There's more that needs to be done. God's blessed us. I wrote this down in the bulletin so I'd be able to announce it. And I announced early in December we wanted to pay off our debt. Now, we had $95,000 or $98,000 that we owed in our mortgage. We had another $100,000 on a personal note that was taken out. Some people were really good to us, very low interest. That's how we got our mortgage paid down so fast. You know, and so it was a total indebtedness of $198,000. You know what we got left? $35,000. God is blessed. God is blessed immensely. And you know what? That's the hand of God. Is what it is. And once that $35,000 is paid off, man, we just take that money that we've been paying on the mortgage and we build up. We need to put new bathrooms on this church. We need another entryway on this church. That ramp needs to be enclosed. We need a drive under for old people. I'm starting to think about old people now. I'm becoming more aware of it. You know? You know, there's more that we need a bigger auditorium. And I got plans, and I got some drawings, preliminary footprints being drawn up. There's things we need to do, and we're not going to go get a mortgage in order to do it. We're just going to march ahead as God provides. I'm excited about that. I believe for Fundamental Baptist Church, the best is yet to come. Here's what you got to do in the year 2020. Number one, get faithful to church. Old Lee Robertson used to say, 3 to thrive, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. 3 to thrive. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Hebrews 10:25. Just get faithful to church. Start. You used to come on Sunday night, you don't anymore. Get back on the horse. Get back in the saddle. Number two, pray for big things. Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Ask and it shall be given you. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Stop praying for just little things. Pray for big things. Have great faith. Number three, contribute. Luke 6, 38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together. You can't outgive God. Hey, listen, Ebenezer, you can't outgive God. Just allow God to bless in your life. And then the fourth thing is, read your Bible through this year. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Let me challenge you, and this won't get you through in a year, but we're going to do it together. Starting right now, the month of January, this is a pretty easy assignment. Read through the book of Matthew. Read through the whole book, and if you get through it, start reading through it again. And then read through it again. We're going to go book by book as a church family. We're going to start with Matthew. Get with it. So there's some New Year's resolutions. That's kind of a weak word as far as I'm concerned. Then give your all to Jesus. Learn what it is and remember what it is to be faithful. Pray for big things. Contribute. Don't just be a taker. Contribute and then study your Bible. This month, book of Matthew. Now let me go all the way back to the beginning. I'm done. If you're here and you're not sure that when you die you're going to heaven, there's a Savior that loves you. He's not willing that any should perish, the scripture says. You say, oh, he doesn't even know my name. Yes, he does. He who counts the stars and calls them by name is not likely to forget his children. He knows exactly who you are. If you'll call upon him, he'll save you. Say, preacher, that sounds too good to be true. I know. It's almost, even when I say it, it's that God would forgive a sinner. It can happen this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here this morning and you're not sure that when you die, you're going to heaven, you're not sure that Jesus is your Savior, but you'd like to be. You'd like Christ. I want you to get saved more than anything. I want you to walk the aisle this morning. I want you to come so we can pray together. I have someone else pray together with you and get this thing nailed down. But you can get saved right where you're at if you mean business with God. And I'm not cheapening it. I'm just saying it's not a trick. You don't need to know a secret word or a password. That's not it. You need to know you're a sinner. Some people have a hard time admitting that. Know what the Bible says. And know there's one Savior. His name is Jesus. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There needs to be a time and a place where you call out to him for salvation. Just pray like this in your heart. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If that is you this morning, dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Oh, God, forgive me. Oh, God, come into my heart and come into my life and give me eternal life and forgiveness of sins. And I'm trusting you alone for heaven. Father in heaven, if there's someone here not born again, help them to understand it's not joining something. It's not according to our merit or good works. It's Jesus, the Savior. And oh God, whatever it may be that's holding someone back, break it up. Melt it away. Oh God, Holy Spirit, would you woo that soul to thee? In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.